3 years now. And love you dearly, John. And Vicki, his wife. So glad you're here. Where are you, Vicki? Okay, she's back right over here. You come preach to us, brother.
Good to be able to drive up here and see you northerners now. Now that I live in the south, I used to have to drive south to see you. Now I got to drive north to see you. And I'm thankful to be here, thankful for the invite. You know, I couldn't think any more highly of a person than I think of your pastor. I've known him, we've said today, 40 years. Been 40 years we've known each other and sat under Henry's ministry for many 30-some years. And I stand here and I have to say this. Who is sufficient for these things? I've been preaching for a good number of years now. And I feel the inadequacy of it. I feel the inadequacy of it more now than I did. When I was young, I wasn't smart. I didn't know anything. And I didn't know I didn't know anything. I just didn't even know enough to know I couldn't preach. And then I found out I couldn't. And then that's when I think the Lord started enabling me to preach. When you find out you can't do it, then He'll enable you to do it. Turn over to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. The title of my message tonight is The Greatness of God. The Greatness of God. Let us never lose sight of the greatness of our God. Over in chapter 39, Isaiah tells Hezekiah that Israel is going to go into captivity to Babylon. They have some very dark days coming up. You know, they were in captivity for 70 years. And after that, he tells him, he says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And he's speaking of his people, his true Israel. He tells Isaiah to comfort them. And every preacher that he's called since is to comfort God's people. And one of the great comforts that we have is in the greatness of our God. We do not worship nor serve a puny God. There is no weakness in any way, shape, or form in our God. None whatsoever. And no matter what circumstance or how dark the night may be, if we can keep our mind stayed upon our great God, it'll carry us through. It'll carry us through the darkest hours. Someone said this, worship is in direct proportion to our thoughts of God. If we have high thoughts of God, worship will be high and holy worship. If we have low thoughts of God, I had written down, it'll be low worship. It'll be no worship. If we have low thoughts of God, there will be no worship of God. A.W. Tozer said this, what comes into our minds when we think of God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think of God Almighty is the most important thing about us. Now, I know that most preaching that goes on today sets forth God as the servant of men, giving men and women the sense of being the sovereign and God the servant. God wanting to do something good for us if we will let Him. God has no wants. God has a will and a purpose. He has no wants. God's never wanted to do anything. And who in the world does man think he is that he's going to put a check on God Almighty? He rules over heaven. He does as He will, with whom He will, when He will. And He gives no account of any of His matters. God does not ask anyone. He doesn't take counsel with anyone. We'll see this here in a minute. He doesn't take counsel with anyone over any matters. I want you to listen to this. Here's what, let me tell you what low thoughts of God lead to. I read this the other day. I'm not going to read the whole poem. A man named William Ernest Henley said in his poem, Invictus, that means unconquerable. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Being the captain of your soul is the ultimate goal in life. That's what low thoughts of God leads to. Absolute foolishness. High thoughts of God says Jesus Christ is the captain of my soul. He's the captain of my salvation. And I want Him to be the captain of my salvation. I've already messed up enough. I sure don't need to have that responsibility on my hands. I don't need that. But let's look and start in verse 12. So you know, he says in verse 9, at the last part of that verse, he says, Behold your God. And that's exactly what I want us to do tonight. In these next few verses, I want us to behold our God. Our God. Not a God. Our God. The God of heaven and earth. The God of salvation. The God of redemption. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God. Now he says in verse 12, Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Who in one hand can take all the water in this world? The deepest oceans, all the oceans, all the rain, and the clouds that go overhead, all the water in the streams, who can take and measure them? Who can tell you how much water there is? God can. There's one that can. God can. God, Almighty God can. Our Lord can. And meted out heaven with a span. Who can measure? Look. You look at heaven. Look at the expanse of the universe. How great it is. We have telescopes and we keep looking out there and it just keeps going. The stronger the telescope we have, the further it keeps going. And yet he says here that our God, with the span of His hand, that's the distance between my thumb and my finger. With one hand, He is able to measure the distance of it. He can tell you to the thousands how big heaven is. To the thousands. Now, to a machinist, I'm an old machinist. That means something. Our God can do that. Our God can do that. And comprehend the dust. He knows the exact weight of this earth. Our God knows the exact weight to the ounce of what this earth weighs, right down to the dust that's on it. And here's something that just really amazes me. And He's weighed the mountains and scales and the hills and balance. God, in His power here, in His infinite wisdom, God has so balanced this earth that as it rotates, it doesn't shake and rock and roll. Going again, as a machinist, I know what it is to balance an impeller. I know what it is to balance a fan. I know when they are out of balance, it's shaking the motor out of the house. And God Almighty has positioned the hills and the mountains and the valleys and the water in such a way that this ball turns in perfect balance. All the engineers in the world couldn't even begin to touch that. What wisdom? What power? What power? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord or been His counselor? Who taught God how to do this? Huh? You know, you and I have got to go to school. First thing we have to do is learn our name. That's the easiest thing in the world. Your name, you got to learn it. God's never learned anything. Who's His counselor? He doesn't have one. He is infinite in wisdom. He's infinite in knowledge. And you can't comprehend it because God is incomprehensible. If you can comprehend God, you got the wrong one. You got the wrong one. You missed it. God is incomprehensible. He can't be comprehended. God is infinite in knowledge. He's never learned anything. He's always known everything. Everything. He knows it. Who has ever given God counsel? No one. He created the heavens and the earth just as He willed. Just as He willed to do. You know, when God created Adam, He didn't create Adam first and then get his opinion on the garden. He created the Garden of Eden. He created the earth and the Garden of Eden, made everything ready, and then what did He do? He created Adam and put him in it. And that's exactly how salvation is. It is the complete work of Jesus Christ, and He's going to put us in it. He's chosen the people to just... is ready. Our Lord says, enter into the kingdom prepared by My Father from the foundation of the world. You're not going to add or do anything to it. You're not going to change anything. He made it just as He will. No one counseled Him. And with whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment? And taught Him knowledge and showed to Him the way of understanding. Who instructed God on judgment and justice and equity? What law school did He go to? Where did He learn that? It's His nature. He's a just God. It's His nature. He's a just God. Who taught God how to be a just God and a Savior? Who taught Him substitution? Who taught Him that? No one. No one. He's God. He's God. He knows all these things. Behold, He says here, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. You turn on the news and you get all tore up. You see all these nations, this is doing this, this is doing that. You know, North Korea is going to shoot off something. We get tore up over these things. And God said, these nations all together are a drop of a bucket. You know what a drop of a bucket is here? It's after you pour all the water out and there's a drip. There's a drip off the bucket. And He said, all the nations together are nothing but a drip. Now, why in the world would you and I be upset or scared or anxious about anything going on out there? It's under the absolute control of our God. The nations, take the mighty nations. This nation is under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's under His control. He said, behold, the nation, or just a drop of the bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. That's the dust that collects on the balance as it sits on the shelf. He said, that's all they are. That's all they are to God. They're nothing. What He's doing here, He's setting forth the nothingness of all of this. He's the one that's great. That's why Paul said in Colossians, set your heart, your mind on things above. Now, if you really want knowledge and understanding, set your heart and mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Not on things of this earth. Behold, he says, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. In comparison to the greatness, the majesty, the incomprehensibleness of God, there's nothing that can be compared to him. There's no challenge to God's power. You know, when I go through a trial, or some of you may be going through a dark hour, there's no challenge to God's power. Now listen. The things we go through, the trials, the heartaches, the difficulties, these things we go through is not because of some weakness in God. We're going through them because of the will and purpose of God. God has willed and purposed everything, every tear I'll ever cry. God Almighty, listen, He brought that into His eternal counsel. He saw the good in it. He ordained the good in it. And then in time, it comes our way. We need high thoughts of God. Our thoughts of God need to be worthy of God. They need to be worthy of God. We'll never worship Him until our thoughts are worthy of Him. And He says here in verse 16, "And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering." Whatever. In this life, anything on this earth, whatever we attempt to honor God with, it falls far short of giving Him the glory due unto His name. There's one who honored and glorified God perfectly. Jesus Christ. Everything else falls far short. Everything else. Listen here in verse 17. "All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity." They're less than nothing. That's less than zero. That's below zero. But listen here. God made everything out of nothing. Everything out of nothing. He made them out of nothing. They are still nothing. And they are going back to nothing. And it is amazing how much we make out of nothing. Isn't it? And what's even more amazing is how afraid we are of nothing. I never, ever have a reason to be afraid. Our Lord said to His disciples time and time again, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so afraid?" God is on the throne. Our God rules over all. I could be on the hottest battlefield on this earth and I am no more in danger than I would be sitting at the right hand of God in glory. I'm that protected. And He's going to give a reproof here. He says in verse 18, "To whom then will you liken God?" If seeing the greatness of God that's just been set forth here. "To whom will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare to?" What leader, what emperor has ever risen that's like God? Let me ask you this. How do you make an image of someone who's invisible? Now you tell me how you do that. I tell you what a man does. He takes his imagination, which is as fallen as can be. He takes his imagination and he whittles out a God like himself. "You thought I was altogether like yourself. As I was telling Paul today, if we think God is like ourselves, we could not have a lower thought of God or a higher thought of ourselves. To think like that. You thought I was altogether like you. And that is the preaching that goes on in false religion and Arminianism. That's the preaching that goes on. Setting forth God like themselves. God, there's none comparable to God. The only way I can describe God, I've learned this, the only way I can describe God is to use His own word. Because I don't have it. I don't have it. God is incomparable. Everything I would use to compare falls way short of who God is. There's no one like God. The workman, he says, but here, the workman's foolish enough to try it. He melts a graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold, and he casts silver chains. Here's the stupidity of this. This is what happens when men are left to themselves. Here we have the lesser trying to make the greater. We have the lesser trying to make the greater. And then what he does, he covers it over with gold. He's too cheap to make it out of solid gold. You know, that would just be too much of a god, really. That costs too much. So what he takes something and something cheap, and then he covers it with gold and makes it look expensive. Then he puts chains on it. And, you know, he dikes it up really, really, really. Makes it look like something, man. And people come in, they're like, oh. How foolish. How foolish. He that is so poor, so impoverished, that he hath no offering. Here's what he does. He chooses a tree. He chooses a tree that will not rot, like that's something. Like that's impressive. He seeks unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. The poor man can't afford an idol like that, like the one with gold. So he makes one out of expensive wood, and he gets him a cunning workman, and he whittles it out, and he takes it, and he fastens it down so nobody steals it. And that's stupid. I mean, you'd think somebody would wake up. Unless God wakes them up, they're not going to. He fastens it down in case somebody bumps the shelf and it falls off. And yet this man's going to bow down and say, "This is my God." Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? And what he's doing here, he states a negative in order to express a positive. Yes, you have heard. You're without excuse. Do you realize sitting here tonight that you're getting a revelation? You realize that? Right here is God's Word. You're reading it. And you and I are reading who God is. God is revealing Himself right here in His Word. You and I are getting a revelation of who God is. We are without excuse. We are without excuse. It says in Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." It is written in Psalm 19:1, "Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. What is that speech? What is that knowledge?
that God is. That God is. Now that God is, you reckon we ought to seek Him? You reckon we ought to seek our Creator? You reckon we ought to seek the One who made all this? The One who has demonstrated His power? You reckon we ought to seek Him?
Oh, he says in verse 22, "It is He that sitteth." Now that doesn't sound like somebody's all tore up, does it? That does not sound like someone who wants to do something if you'll just let Him. He sitteth. He sitteth, unaffected by the wickedness of man, unaffected by all this stuff that keeps us all anxious. God's unaffected. You know why? He's absolutely orchestrating everything on this earth. All of what looks like chaos to us is being orchestrated by God. It's being directed and orchestrated by the hand and purpose of God Almighty. It's not just happening. God is bringing it to pass. "It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers." You know, we ought to see things like God sees them. If we would see things as God sees them, what worship we would give Him. What true worship we would give Him. And what fear it would relieve. And what right fear it would instill. A right fear of God. I remember Paul wrote an article once. I've never forgotten this. He used that scripture, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." And in the article, I may not quote this verbatim, but in the article Paul wrote, "He that fears God fears no one. He that fears a man fears everyone." You fear everyone and everything when you fear a man. But if you have a right fear of God, you have no fear of anything else. You have Elijah standing before the 400 prophets of Baal, facing them down. And then just a little bit later, he takes his eyes off God and runs from Jezebel. His fear got misplaced. It got misplaced. "It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell." He spread out the heavens. Ladies, He spread out the heavens as easy as you throw a sheet over a bed. Just as easy as you throw a sheet over a bed, God cast out the heavens. But here, someone said this, and I thought it was good. He said, "What we have here is sovereignty stacked upon sovereignty stacked upon sovereignty. Incomprehensible sovereignty. That's what we have. Man may impress us, but not God." I tell you this, if we really get impressed with God, nobody else will impress you. Not even yourself. Not even yourself. If we see who God is, and not forget that, and not take our eyes off of that, no matter how dark the hour, we'll give Him the glory due unto His name for the first time. Listen, he says, "He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity." God sets up and He brings down. God does that. God does that. I am not the least, I'm telling you the truth, I'm not the least concerned with the political landscape. It's in the hand of God. Do I have my opinion? Yes. But so do you. And what's it all worth? And we all have one. And everybody here is entitled to mine. And that's what an opinion's worth. I'm telling you the truth. Now, Zion's God is on the throne. He sits up, He brings down. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. I, the Lord, do all these things. Is there evil in a city? And I have not done it. My hand's not in it. Trouble. When those towers came down, was God asleep? Was God asleep? Did anyone die accidentally? You see, that's the God nobody wants to hear, except God's people. And He has to save them in order to, they want to hear it. Our God is sovereign over all. He lifts up, He brings down. He says He brings the princes to nothing. Men in great power are just men. That's all they are. They're just men. You know, for a long time, Saddam Hussein thought he was somebody. And then one day God said, that's enough. That's enough. That's the end of you. He brings down one, lifts up another. God is the one who said, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Not the counsel of princes and kings and presidents. No, my counsel. Not the counsel of Congress and Senate. My counsel. My counsel. That's what's going to stand. Yea, He said, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Their stock shall not take root in the earth. And He shall just blow upon them. And they're gone. They're gone. They thought they was going to hang around. They thought they was going to get this, get that established, get this established. And God said, that's it. You've gone far enough. Just like the sea. Just like the sea. He said, hither shall thy proud waves come and no further. He puts a stop to the sea. Now, what's me and you? What is a man? If God Almighty could stop the ocean, says, here's your boundary. He said, God has set the boundary of every human being on this earth. God has done that. And then He repeats the question. To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? If God is the standard, then what can we compare to Him? There's only one that was equal with God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you'll notice here, He says, to whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? It's got to be holy to be equal with God. Yeah, don't overlook that. If you're going to compare something to God, it has to be absolutely perfect as He is. And there's only one. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now He says, I'll hurry up here and finish. But lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things that brings out their host by number? He calls them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one fail. Look up. Don't always be looking down. He created that too. I was reading an article the other day, and it was talking about in the galaxy, they have come up with billions and trillions of stars in one galaxy. And you know God has named every one of them? Every last one of them has a name. Every last one of them has a purpose. Even the ones you and I can't see. Even the ones that are out there we haven't even seen or discovered. They have a purpose. God did not create anything without a purpose. They have a purpose. And He's called them all by their name, and not one of them failed. I was thinking the other day when it just struck me when the sun was up in about around noon, and I looked at the sun and I thought, it has never ran out of fuel. It's never dimmed. It's never gone dim. It's never... The heat has never gone down. The light is... It's been the same for thousands of years. It's never failed.
And we take that for granted, don't we? How many times you just get up in the morning, oh, it's a beautiful day. What are we going to do today? It's so pretty out today. And never think of the sun and the power of that sun and the power of God's Word that keeps that sun giving you and me a beautiful day. Oh, he said, look up. Lift up your eyes on high. And now, listen here. He has said all of this to come to this. All this has been said to come to this. In verse 27, why sayest thou, why do you say, O Jacob? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my ways hid from the Lord? My judgments passed over from my God. Does God not see? Does He not see my pain? Does He not see my heartache? Does He not see my loss? Don't have such low thoughts of God. He gave you the pain and the heartache. He may have allowed you to sin that brings it. Because we sin and brings us heartaches. And like He allowed David to do what he did. But yet God turns what you and I even mean for wrong, do wrong, He brings good out of it. If He brings you to Himself, He's brought good out of it. If He's let you fall, and that fall has led you to seek the Lord and to cry after Him for mercy and forgiveness, He's brought good out of it. Honey has come out of the eater. He knows how to bring honey out of the eater. So why do you talk like that? Why do you talk as if God, if the weakness is in God, if God's asleep? He said, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He faints not, neither is weary. He's not that. You know that. He said, you know the problem's not with God. It's not with God. He says, He gives power to the faint, and them that have no might, He increases strength. We are the weak ones. Listen, Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I stronger. I am never stronger than when I'm weak and I realize my need of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm now at my strongest when I'm at my weakest. Even the youth will faint and be weary, and the young men will utterly fail. Don't envy youth. Don't envy youth. It'll fail also. It'll fail. And don't wish you were young again. Don't wish you were young again. I want you to get this. Set your mind on things above, for soon you will be. Soon you will be young again. You'll be your youth will be renewed. Eternal youth. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who trust the Lord shall have all the strength they need to fight the good fight of faith all the way home. All the way home. Now, I want you to get this. I'm done. This God has just revealed Himself to us one more time out of His Word. This God who has the power and the wisdom and the knowledge, who is infinite in all. You know everything about God is infinite? Everything about God is infinite. Everything about God is unmeasurable. Everything. This God is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior, our High Priest, our sacrifice. This God that we just read about is our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how great Thou art. I pray God from this moment on that you and I would have high thoughts of God.
All right. Change the hymn, Jeanette and John, we'll read number 34. Number 34. Everyone knows, most people know, at least can quote Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know who loves God? Well, first, it's those He first loved. Those that are called according to His purpose. But those that love God love to hear God preached as God. Do you ever get tired of hearing your God exalted like that? What, I love that. And I love the man who preached it. You love God, you love the man that He sent to preach Himself. I love you, brother. That was a God exalting message. It blessed my heart. And I anticipate another one right after this. Let's stand as we sing number 34. Hymn number 34. This goes perfectly with that message. Number 34, Immortal and Invisible.